Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today's Wednesday, the day in our weekly rhythm where we try to make sense of the Bible reading that we explored yesterday. And yesterday we read the story of the prodigal son, a very famous story Jesus told about a father and two sons, and there's an element of forgiveness to it, which is why we're exploring this story in a week where a theme is Jesus is forgiveness. Now in this story, the surface level, most of us see, okay, a father with two sons, one good, one bad. And we generally think the bad son is the younger son, because he's the one who goes to his father and asks for an inheritance. Now that might not seem all that strange to us, maybe it doesn't happen a lot, but what does it really mean? Well, in Jewish culture, this father with two sons would have had to, when he died or, you know, on his deathbed, he would have divided his possessions two-thirds to the oldest son, one-third to the youngest son. That's how it would have happened. But it would have happened on his deathbed, when he knew he was going to die. Because his possessions included a farm, and livestock, and food that he needed to live and feed the rest of his family. So his son coming up to him now and saying, "Give me your money," is actually an insult to his face. He's basically saying to his father, "I wish you were dead. But since you're not, maybe you could just give me everything now as if you were dead. Give me my third now." And he has no regard for whether his father needs that third to feed him, or himself, or to feed the rest of the family, to keep the farm going, to survive, any of that. He just wants what's going to rightfully be his someday when his dad dies, and he can't wait, so he wants it now. It's pretty insulting. What people would have been expecting in a strict Jewish culture with a lot of rules around, you know, authority and hierarchy, very patriarchal, people would have been expecting the father to punish the son now for insulting him to his face like that and basically saying, "Hey, drop dead." So they would have been extra shocked when the father didn't punish the son, but actually gave him his third of the inheritance on the spot. Now, like I said, this was a farm, it wasn't cash. So the son insulted his father even more when he went and sold the land. He went and sold it all, liquidated the assets, took the cash and ran. Another insult would have been where he ran off to. He ran off to a foreign land. He lived among Gentiles, which basically means non-Jews. And for the Jewish people, very close society, very protective of their people, who could only intermarry and couldn't really even associate with non-Jews because they would be unclean. Jesus' followers and the people listening to him would have heard this story and been extra appalled. They would have thought, not only does he insult his father, he ruins his father's farm, selling off a third of it, and he goes and lives among unclean foreign people. He's turned his back on his father, and now he's turned his back on his people as well, his whole nation. Insult after insult after insult. Finally, he loses the money in foreign lands. He breaks all kinds of laws by spending this money on partying and loose women, and he runs out of money. And so what does he do? He takes on a job. Again, no big deal to us, but to Jesus' first followers, the people listening to this story, the fact that he took a job working at a pig farm would have been either an extra insult to his people, or they would have just said, well, it was coming to him. Now he's working with what Jews consider unclean animals. They can't eat pigs, they can't even be near pigs. And now here is this young Jewish boy who's ruined everything, insulted his father, working on a pig farm. They would say it serves him right. Now, like I said, generally we look at that son and we say, okay, he's the bad one, and then there's this other good son who stays home, does what he's told, follows the rules, works the farm, and gets a little jealous at the end. But there's actually more to that son's story. See, he's the older son. So he had a role to play in a family, just like there were strict rules about the father and his inheritance. The older son had a job. He needed to play mediator when there was conflict between his brother and his father. He should have stepped in and stopped this. But he let it happen. Why? Well, now the other son's out of the way. He's taken his third, and that third's not going to grow. That investment isn't going to grow. Now, this son gets to work on his two-thirds. The rest of the farm will be entirely his someday. And his father's working it with him. He's basically got two men now working towards the same goal, and he gets it all. So he doesn't need to worry about his brother being in the picture anymore. So there might have been some selfish motives to the way the older son acted here in letting his younger son insult his father to his face and take off with all the money. When the younger son finally comes home, You know, he finally gives up the job at the pig farm and he comes home, probably expecting trouble, and instead his father welcomes him with open arms. A lot of us can give, you know, the benefit of the doubt to the older son, because we see what he does is, you know, he leaves the giant party his father is throwing and he goes outside to be grumpy about it. Well, no wonder he's a bit grumpy. Unfortunately, this means he's insulting the father again, because here's the father, excited that his family's intact once again. Both sons back on the farm. This is great. He throws a giant party, spends a lot of money on it. And the minute all his guests arrive and see the younger son, some of them are probably asking, "This is great. Where's your older son?" You can imagine the father at his party looking around and saying, "He was just here. Now I've lost another son. I don't even know where he is." Once again, there's conflict, public conflict. This father can't even celebrate the return of his younger son without his older son taken off instead. This older son is grumpy, says, "You know, I deserve a party. I was always here." And the father says, "But yeah, you were always here. Everything that's mine is now yours. You get the whole inheritance now. You've got what's coming to you. He got what was coming to him. Your gift has been being with me all this time." Well, the older son doesn't really buy it. And basically, Jesus' audience would have listened to this story and said, "This guy's got two lousy sons. This is no good." But the key is, the story is not really about the sons. It's actually about the father and what he's like. Because here's a guy with these two lousy sons, and yet who still does the right thing. Let's look at how he receives his younger son when his younger son comes home from this awful adventure. Like I said, Jewish society had a very strict hierarchy, very focused on the strong, powerful father figure. And so a man like this, a landowner, fairly prosperous, would have had certain ways to keep his dignity, to show his position and strength in society. And one of those ways was that he wouldn't normally run. He had people for that. If he needed something fast, somebody would go get it. He had staff. And running for a man like him in first century Jewish society would have meant hiking up his robes like skirts, and running with them held up would have been undignified, would have made him all dirty, because it would have been a dusty desert kind of road. Just not a good situation. You didn't run if you didn't have to. But the minute his son starts coming home, his son who's ruined everything, the minute he starts coming home, the father sees him at a distance and he runs out to him, hiking up his skirts, "Who cares about my dignity?" throws it all away, and he runs to greet his son. And his son has got the whole speech prepared. "I'm sorry, father, I'll work for you now. I don't deserve to be your son again." And his father says he wants nothing to do with that and says, "You are my son, welcome home. I'm gonna give you a ring, I'm gonna give you a robe, signs that you're a son, not just a servant. I'm gonna welcome you home and throw a giant party with the best food we have." His father forgives, and to do that, he has to throw away his dignity. He does the same thing again when he has to go and find his older son and, you know, leave the party and all his guests to do that. He throws away his dignity again because his sons are the most important thing in the world to him, and he will throw away his dignity and anything and sacrifice anything for them. And that was Jesus' point, that God loves us so much, he will sacrifice anything. He will give away his dignity to get us back when we're runaways, and we all are. The point of this story is that God wants us back, and he'll do anything to get us back. We were made for a relationship with him, and even if we've thrown that away and pushed God away as much as possible, God wants to have us back. He'll do whatever it takes, even coming to earth as one of us, which is exactly what God did in Jesus. He gave up the dignity, power, and authority of being God, the ruler over everything in heaven, to come to our dirty, dusty world and become one of us. That's what Jesus was all about. And that's why his story here that he told taught us about what he was all about: forgiveness. We'll look at this more tomorrow. But in the meantime, here's a question to think about. Have you heard this story before? Who do you normally side with? Who's more like you? Has today's explanation helped you learn something new about the story? Have a great one. I'll see you tomorrow.